one commentary that I read said on this verse 24, which we'll get to in a little bit, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." He said sometimes scholars downplay the importance of everything. But I think the thing here is that Paul repeats it twice. Now let's look at what Paul says this morning. First of all, he says, "Wives, obey your husbands," gives a command in verse 22a. Now let's look at this. "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Actually, the Greek word submit is not in the original manuscripts, but it is in the verse before it when we read, "submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So we know what that word means. Now I'm going to play some little word thoughts here because it's important to understand which direction we can go with this when we talk about submitting. It can mean, in the Greek, a passive imperative. I know it doesn't mean much to you, but this is what it means. It can mean in the sense of forced to. So if you take it in that tense, wives, obey your husbands because you're forced to. Or it can be taken in what I think is the present middle indicative in the Greek language, and that speaks of voluntary submission. There are marriages and there are homes where the wives are forced to obey their husbands. Gentlemen, let me say this right out of the gate. If your wife is in that position, it is a wrong position to be in. The wife should be in a voluntary position to submit or to obey his wife. Now let's look at this just for a minute, because when Paul wrote this, at least for pastors and for most of us, when we read this, it says, "Wives, submit," and then he doesn't give anything. Like sometimes Paul says, they want you to be unified, and also that means loving, forgiving, all those things. He gives us practical applications. Here the pastor is left to do what is called pastoral theology. That is to give some practical helps. He says in everything, so that covers all areas. Sexual, all kinds. Financial, everything. I believe he's right. What does this not mean? If the wife is to obey her husband, and by the way, the foundation for marriage is one man, one woman. Very clear. Matter of fact, if you go to Colossians, you'll see the household codes there towards the end of the book of Colossians. And it says, "Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives." Or, "Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives." And we go all the way back to Genesis. Doesn't take a genius to realize that marriage is between one man and one woman. And we're getting more and more into our culture that says it is not just one man and one woman. And I think we're going to get into trouble. But let's look at what this word obey means. By the way, submit really means to come under the authority in the sense of submission. But I also like the word obey because it actually captures the essence better. Now, what does this not mean? And so I had to kind of go through, and every scholar that I read pretty much said the same thing. These were mine, and then I put some of their ideas in. But what does this not mean? I think, first of all, it means that the wife is under no obligation to obey unethical or godless commands. In other words, when the husband says, "I want you to do this," or "I want you to lie for me," or "I want you to cheat," or "I want you to steal," I don't believe the wife is under obligation to disobey the word of God. And most scholars agree. Secondly, to compromise your walk with Christ. And by the way, husbands, in 25 to 30, when it talks about Christ loving the church, Christ would never put the church in a situation where it would have to be forced obedience to Christ, because he doesn't do that, nor would he put a wife, his church, in a position where they have to lie or do all these different things. So I don't think this is biblical. If you've put your wife in a position that would compromise her walk with Christ, I would say, as your pastor, and I think it's on good, solid biblical grounds, you would not have to obey that. I think another thing is anything that would break the law. If your husband wanted you to do something that actually went against the law of the land, and even if you could extend it to the laws of God, I would say you would not have to obey that. There needs to be some parameters. A fourth, it would hurt your personal witness for Christ. Anything that would cause the wife to have a poor image of Christ in this world, I think the wife is not under obligation to obey that. Personal opinion. To denigrate your worth as a person. Anything that would denigrate your worth as a person, I don't think the wife is under obligation to obey. Why? Because we are all one in Christ. He values us. He died for us. He went to the cross for us, paid our sins in full. Therefore, we are on equal footing with God. I think in those cases, the wife does not need to obey those commands. So the question is, well, let me not jump ahead. If your husband, I see this a lot, particularly in believer-unbeliever marriages. And I wanted to, if you can go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you go back there and you kind of read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I didn't know whether I really wanted to get into this, but I think it's probably a good place. Paul is talking about brothers and sisters who are married to unbelievers. And now I've lost my place. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I underlined it in my other Bible and then forgot to get it. What is it? 13. Thank you. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy by because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. That was a purification issue back then. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, a brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. And I think this strikes at the heart of it, talking about believers married to unbelievers. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or do you not know, husband, whether you will save your wife? In other words, I think when you have an unbelieving spouse that says, I want you to renounce your faith, I don't think you're obligated to obey that, because the scriptures very clearly say that the wife, if the wife is saved and the husband is unsaved, the goal of that wife is to lead her husband to Jesus Christ. You cannot lead your husband to Jesus Christ if you have renounced your faith and walked away from the church. Therefore, and I had this case come up in one of my churches that I pastored. A lady said, Angie, by the way, I've talked about her before. She said, I don't know what to do. My husband wants me to walk away from the church. This was after she got saved. She said, what should I do, Pastor? And I said, you get up on Sunday morning, you come to the church, and you disobey your husband. This is what happened. Angie came. When we got the word later, afterwards, Angie kept coming to church. Guess what happened? Her husband got saved. Now they are attending faithfully another church. Because the biblical command is clear. If you're married to an unbeliever, he wants you to renounce it. I would say you don't need to obey that. You try to obey your husband in everything, but if it goes beyond the scriptural bounds, you're not obligated to obey it. That's how I see it. That's my take. Secondly, he talks about the Lord. This is where it gets interesting. Notice he says, as to the Lord. So the command is to submit, come under the authority of your husband, as to the Lord. It can be casual, meaning fitting to the Lord. It can be in the comparative force, meaning the same degree as to the Lord. So if the wife obeys the husband, then that would be fitting to the Lord. If it's comparative, you obey your husband just like you do the Lord. Or it can mean this. In a motivational force means that as she submits to the husband, she also submits to Christ. And you know which one I think it is? I think it's number 3. Because the command came from God, And when God says that you submit to your husband, you come under, you have also obeyed Christ and you have submitted to his authority. You see how that works? This is what I think it means. Wives, your relationship to your husband is a reflection of your relationship to Christ. If you want to know where you are, ladies, spiritually, seriously, and I love every one of you, you know that. Sometimes it's tough to pastor because you got to say stuff that's not popular. But if you want to know your relationship to Jesus Christ, look at your relationship to your husband. Are you constantly badgering him at every corner? Are you constantly undercutting his authority? Are you constantly putting him down? Are you constantly nitpicking him? Are you constantly doing those things which would shred his authority? And then you would have to wonder why the husband reacts the way that he does. I think if, ladies, if you would just get it in your heart this morning to say, I am going to obey my husband. As long as it doesn't compromise those biblical convictions, those things, I am going to stop talking about my husband in a negative sense. I'm going to stop talking about him, that he's worthless, that you never do anything right. Why don't you just take a minute, step back and say, okay, if I obey my husband the way God wants me to, it is a reflection of my relationship with Christ. Because if I can't obey an earthly husband that I can see, how can I obey a God that I can't see? I think there's a connection here, because there's a connection between we are the bride and Christ is the groom. There's a huge connection here. Yes, ladies, I would say, and maybe some of us need to sit back, and the ladies need to, don't worry, men, I'm coming with you next week. And it's much harder, trust me, ladies, you'll love me next week. You may not like me right now, but you'll love me next week. So if you want to check your relationship, where you are with Christ, and particularly the marriage, which is the biggest institution in the Bible, look at how you deal with your husband. That's how you're dealing with Christ, because Christ has said to obey. And again, I didn't write this. God did. Thoughts. Marriage operates best when the wife obeys the husband, period. A wife who constantly fights against her husband is fighting against God, because he said it. There's an old saying, and I know it's probably overdone. God's word said it, I believe it, that settles it. Most of the marriages today, at least when I get calls for counseling, it has something to do with role expectation. And what I have to do is I have to go back and I have to outline for the couple what the husband's responsibility is and what the wife's responsibility is. Because inevitably, they're out of kilter. And I've talked with ladies and said, do you ever build your husband up? Because all I'm hearing from you is negativity. Well, I hadn't actually thought about that. Why don't you try doing that? Now, here's the kicker. It goes against our culture. I know it does. Since he's the leader, 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Head meaning authority or principle of command, or commander, if you will. Here's something interesting. This actually went against the culture of the day. Let me give you an example from exactly at the time Paul wrote this in Rome. The husband in the home had complete, unchecked authority. Not over the wife. Now, this is true. You can go back and research it in history. However you want to look at it, it's true. The husband had complete authority over the children. So much so that if the father said, this child was disobedient, I want him or her put to death, legally he could do it. But he did not have the same control over the wife. Guess who had control over the wife? The father. You remember that? You remember it too? Get both of you. If the wife said, "Dad, I no longer like this man," the father could take his daughter, go right down to the court, file a divorce, and the husband was completely, couldn't stop it, couldn't do anything because he didn't have control over the wife. Now Paul says, in this culture, wives, obey your husbands. Totally out of context. Totally. So they're going, wait a minute, the Greeks, the Romans, they don't have to do that. Paul says, I want you to obey your husbands. Well, wait a minute, that kind of, my dad, no. Paul says, I want you to obey your husband because he is the head of the wife. He is the authority. And by the way, gentlemen, becoming the loving leader of the family. Because God's picture is not complete. I know it's been tough this morning on the ladies. Obey. It's a reflection of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason that God did it was that the husband would be the authority in the home. What does this mean? And this kind of gets into the men, but I want to kind of show the ladies the ramifications or implications of this, however you want to look at it. The husband is the final authority on decisions. Simple. Cut, dry. That means that who makes the decisions in the church? Overall, Jesus Christ. And he does use him here. Parallels these two, by the way. So the husband is the one who makes the final authority. You know, when I deal with marriage counseling, do you know the number one thing that I wrestle with other than finances and maybe sex? You know what it is? It's the woman wanting to make all the shots and all the calls in the household without the husband's approval. True. 24 years of ministry. When God says that the husband is the head of the wife, he means it. He means that he's the one that makes the calls, the finals. Now, what this doesn't mean is that the wife has no input. That the wife, to give you an example, when I was called into the ministry, I didn't go anywhere and I didn't make any moves until this lady was on board with it. It took a while. Until that faithful bathroom moment with God. Yeah. That's a big change. And God doesn't call just the man. He calls the woman into the ministry because she's my helpmate. Those, it doesn't mean that the wife never gets input. Doesn't mean that the wife can't say, hey, wait a minute, this is not a good idea, and reason through it. But it does mean when the dust settles and the arguments are finished, the husband, you of the household, the head of the house, you must make the decision and say, this is final. What I'm finding in most Christian homes and marriages is the man is weak and will not make the decision. Because they're afraid of what their wife will do. But if you have a godly wife who has given her input and you say, honey, I have considered that. I've thought this through. But I don't believe it's the best course. And that's happened in our marriage. This thing is, she's been right so many times. It's easy to default. Just kick. Audrey, no. We make those decisions. The husband is the final authority. The husband sets the example for a Christ-centered life. Gentlemen, that would be real easy to say that. Get your rear end out of bed and get your family to church. Get up on Sunday morning, set the example for your wife and for your kids, and get to church. So you can hear me rant and rave for 35, 40 minutes. Do you know why my wife right there. Do you know what she needs?
She needs a godly husband who is a godly leader. She's told me that. Gentlemen, do you know what your wife needs? She needs a godly leader and a godly husband. I think, Paul says this a lot, not the Lord, but I. So I'm going to say it too. I think 50%, I didn't do any studies on this, just off the top of my head. 50% of the issues in the home could be solved if the man would take up his rightful place in the home. That's right, Dave. Pick it up. That's a whole new bunch of issues. You pick it up. Pick it up, men. You're the leader. Step up and take charge of your home. Wives, stop trying to drive the car. Let your husband lead. Yes, it doesn't mean you don't. You just sit and you go, oh my, oh me. No, it's not that. It means that you tell your husband you don't agree with this, but let your husband, just try it. You go, you don't know, Pastor, my husband's mate. Just let him lead. After a while, he'll put two and two together. God blesses when the home is organized properly. God will bless it. 31 years. And I'll be honest with you, about 15 of those really leading. But our marriage is close. And it started by me setting the example, not because I'm a pastor. The husband is responsible to Christ. We have a responsibility to Christ. That, I think, includes listening to our husbands, even though we're the head. Some men take that to mean woman. Boom, 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 boom. No. Sorry, that doesn't work, gentlemen. That's not how Christ treats you. Oh, you're going to hear. Please, men, come back next week. I am going to get on you so bad. And me too. The husband is the one who protects the family. The husband provides for the family. Do not rely. I've seen deadbeat husbands who will not get off their butt and go out and hold a job to feed their own family. They will rely on their wife. Get up, go out, go to work, provide for your family, take care of them. And I bet you, just a thought here, if you start owning up to your responsibility as a man, I bet you your marriage is going to be better. Because your wife's going to go, wow, he's taking charge. Oh, by the way, the husband loves his family. Again, Christ loves the church. Back when we were first married, back when I was not really being the leader of the home, I can't remember when, and I was discussing with this with Audrey earlier. Somewhere during that first few months or year of marriage, of course, you guys know I love sports, right? I love the Redskins, and we were in Hawaii, and of course, it came on 7 o'clock in the morning because of the time difference. I didn't have time for church, Ruth. I was going to watch my Redskins. That's when they had Joe Theismann and John Riggins and the big boys. They were going Super Bowl a lot. I was missing church. During that period somewhere, this is what Audrey did. She got at the foot of the bed, and she prayed this prayer, basically. God, I want you to make him a man after your own, after your heart. Ladies, stop complaining about your husbands and pray that they will become men of God. Get on your knees. What to do when your husband is not the spiritual leader? Instead of beating him up, lift him up. Beating people up really never works. He's the head. Let God deal with him. God dealt with me. First thing I did was I got a VCR. Found out that you can go to church and watch football. you know what I also started finding out? As our marriage went on, I also started coming to the conclusion that football's not really all that important. Now, I still watch it. I enjoy it. And I don't have a problem with people that watch it on Sundays. I do have a problem with people that just, they give over to it. And they just say, I can't go to church because of this. I've been there and done that. Ladies, if you'll pray, if you'll lift up instead of beat up, God will take care of it. Secondly, again, the Lord's brought in. He talks about the husband. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, that is, Christ is the head, we are the body, we are the bride, and he himself is the Savior. Very quick, this is what it looks like. Christ is over the church. It's not the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not denominations. It's not pastors. Christ is the head of the church. Lastly, just as the church obeys Christ. Actually, those are two words here. You'll notice, wives, obey your husbands. And then he gives the filler with the husband being the leader. But then he goes, wives, obey your husbands, just as the church obeys Christ and gives the example. Now, as the church submits to Christ, the word submit means obey, obedience, submission, to come under the authority of the lordship of Christ. That's a good picture of what it means to be under the lordship of Christ. It means to submit to Christ. I honestly believe that if we decided as a church that God wanted us to do this, I believe we would do that. I believe we would. And ultimately, the church is a picture of the marriage relationship. Again, we are the bride. He is the groom. The groom submits. Submits voluntarily because it loves Christ. It goes back to that submission part. If you're being forced to submit, that's not godly love. If you submit because you love your husband, then you are also submitting to Christ, whom you love, and therefore the relationship blossoms. Y'all know it's true, right? Thanks, Ron. Y'all do know that's right. Christ is the head of the church. And then he gives the command. So also, wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Ladies, let me ask you a very serious personal question. I'll give you a second to look up here. Do you want a godly marriage? Do you want a happy marriage? Do you want a marriage where your husband is leading? He's doing those things that he's called to do. Do you want that kind of marriage? Do you want peace in your marriage? By the way, the marriage is based in the scripture. This is what I want you to do. I want you to try this. Today, sometime, and I don't know if there's any here that does this, this is what I want you to do. Instead of running your husband down, which can be easy to do, and I've seen a lot of women that's done that before, and you got to get that fixed before you can get the other thing fixed. This is what I want you to do. I want you to spend this afternoon building your husband up. Audrey has written on numerous occasions. I got one by my bedstand, by my bedstand table. I saw it the other day. She listed it was on front and back of everything that she appreciated about me. Actually kind of brought tears to my eyes.
Because you get so caught up in life, you get so caught up in life that you forget to affirm one another. And it's so easy, particularly in marriages that are out of kilter biblically, it is so easy for the wife to sit back and go, ba 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 ba. Maybe not to that degree, okay? Sometimes true. Men, what do you do when you hear that? That's what you do, isn't it? Honey, out here with Brother Ben out at the golf course, won't be back for a while. Ladies, start telling your husbands why they are important to you. When I'm going to tell you this, as a man, men need to be affirmed as the leader. They need to be valued by the wife. Am I right, men? I saw a bunch of men doing this. Affirm your wife. Instead of beating up your husband, or affirm your husband. Instead of beating up your husband, lift up your husband. Place him before the throne of God. Get serious with God. If your husband is a lazy spiritual bum who sits on the couch, watches football, doesn't take up the word of God, doesn't lift the family up to God, get on your knees, ask God to do a work in his heart, and God will change that person. He will change the course of your marriage. But God's probably sitting up there waiting for the wife to get serious and say, God, this is what I want. I want my husband to be the spiritual leader. Men, get your tail to church on Sunday morning. I want my husband to be a spiritual leader. You pray for that direction. You pray, you lift him up, and then you go about the business of, yes, dear. You say, Pastor, that is ridiculous. Okay, how's your way working? And ladies, next week, bring the guys back. Oh, yeah. Bam. Larry, are you missing already? That was Larry. Yeah, somebody's trying to get out of this. Oh, Pastor, I can't be here next week. It's going to be a blast next week. Lady's saying, as she gets in the car, she goes, you're going back to church next Sunday. I want to hear what he says to you. Let me say this. I want God to bless every marriage that's in this room. But you have to start the foundation right. And the foundation is, ladies, let your husband lead, love them, pray for them, stop beating them up, affirming their relationship.